I'm just curious, the emotional connection mm-hmm. to what you were experiencing as a teenager, the asthma, mm-hmm. the arthritis, the eczema. Did you make a connection to what you were going through emotionally?
Mm-hmm. Fear. That's what it was. I think I was afraid. I don't know how that could even work, to be so afraid and wanting to be an artist. Because I was at the doo-wop group. So I was singing. Mm-hmm. I was dancing. I was doing a little acting. So how do you be in such fear, but then you are an artist that mm-hmm. is all the way out there? So, you know, we do have many sides to ourselves. So there was a fear that I had, but then it was a courage that I had. It was kind of blended all together. And so I know, and then I was different. I had two older brothers and they didn't really bond with me. And I learned later on it was a problem. Mm. I was a favorite. That is not good in a family. Mm. My father and mother wanted a daughter. They had sons, but they wanted mm-hmm. a daughter. And I think they showed that they wanted a daughter so much more. And so I think they catered to me, and I didn't realize they catered to me as much. Mm. And so my brothers didn't welcome me, you know? So,
yeah.
And they would scare me in the house. The house is a 4-story brownstone. So I'm little, the lights would go off sometimes, go in the basement, turn the lights back on, and they would jump up like that, you know? Okay, well, who am I? Where am I with this family? I learned later
always
on.
Always scared.
Yeah, wow. I learned later on. My brother ended up going to a mental ward. He's not anymore. He's no longer mm-hmm. in his body now. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he says, when you were 11, daddy liked you more than me. I said, oh, wait a minute. That's what we're going through? Oh. Mm. So I realized that our childhood issues, mm-hmm. the ACEs, I was going through it. So not being received and accepted. And that was probably my journey through my life, because I have 9 aunts and 5 uncles, and I'm very peculiar to them. But I've learned to really embrace my different. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other people are embracing theirs, because you have to be courageous to be different. Mm-hmm. And many times we're the ones set the tone for everybody else to connect to their different.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's a cookie cutter and everybody's doing the same thing and nobody's really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
With the diet changes that you made, you know, after the retreat where you mm-hmm. transitioned to a plant-based lifestyle and you did no more meat, no more sugar. How do you support people in that journey of moving mm-hmm. to more live foods from dead foods? Because I feel like if people aren't so sick where they have to do it, mm-hmm. you know, like how can they motivate themselves mm-hmm. to do that?
Well, see, because like almost 30, mm-hmm. they don't normally get it. This is something I would tell my daughter when her friends were in like teenagers in the early 20s. They would laugh at me when I would make them a green juice. And I said, this is what you could do for your menses, you'll have pain. And they would think that I was a joke. And I would laugh with them. I said, you know what? I'll see you when you're in the 30s. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some issues. I already know there's a clock that you're not aware of. And things are going to start showing up. So just remember this moment. And I didn't give them a lecture about it. Mm-hmm. I just told my daughter one time, I said, I'll see them in their 30s. And that's what's happening right now. Mm. Because some of them from back then are working on my team right now, including my daughter. And the things that I told them that could happen, that they could prevent, they didn't really see it because they didn't feel the pain or the suffering. I just happened to get my pain and suffering early on. So I woke up really quick. And so what these other parts of you though, you know, we're body, mind, and spirit. So maybe they want to actually live out their purpose. And that could motivate them. So if you clean up, you get very in tune. And you start actually being who you really are, as opposed to who you were told you were to be. Mm. And that's exciting. So they look at me and said, Jennifer, you're doing everything you want to do. Well, you can too. And you can start young. You don't have to wait until you're 40, 50, 60, or 70 to wake up. And then you're so tired by that time, you don't want to do it then. Start now. And so you do a fast, or you do a cleanse, or you eat more live foods, or you take a healing bath, and you do your prayers, and you journal as a lifestyle. Then you start to actually pick up the message. There's a little book that came that is amazing to me, because this book is called Impeccable Listening. It took me 12 weeks to write it. Sacred Woman took me 7 years to write. And all my books took me a long time. But why that book? I realized that basically was my autobiography. I had to learn to listen impeccably. And the moments that I did not listen, that's when I suffered. And the moments that I did listen, what is it? I asked a question. I asked a question at 16, 17. What do I do to heal this asthma? I heard it. Bam. He asked, listen, then I acted. The grapefruits, the lemons, the water, the rosehip tea. And I opened up and my life shifted. So in writing this book, I was asking, and everybody can ask themselves now, you know, for me it was, there's so much suffering in the world. What can we do to end world suffering? That was my question a year and a half ago. People were dying everywhere, all around us, family, friends. They didn't know what to do. There's a lot of fear in the atmosphere, bad news every day. And I said, how can we end world suffering? And the question came immediately. I was going to sit in a circle with three of us. One was Laura London, and came through impeccable listening. Tell them impeccable listening will end the suffering. Because I know that we know everything right now, but we don't know that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And taking time to relax, to breathe, take a deep breath, take some lime water, and now ask the question. Get up early so you can get in tune, and then have the courage to listen, hear it, even if you don't want to do it, just hear it. And that is your road to freedom, your liberation. And then when you act, you get good at, like, piano lessons. You know, in the beginning, C, D, E, F, and then blah, blah, blah. You know, you get good at it, listening. You get good at asking. You get good at being obedient. So you look a little peculiar to people in the beginning because you are living your life and you're constantly asking and you're constantly listening. And then you move. And sometimes people think around, young people around, give an example. I told them one day, I said, this was when Kazik was coming on board, my right hand came on board. And I said, listen, I had a vision. This is what's going to happen. I saw my sacred woman, how that's going to shift now. And we'd always have like 30, 40, or 50 women. But I knew there was going to be a lot of women coming in. So I said, okay. I started giving some of the vision that I was getting in the download. And it was, DN Headlights. And you're talking to 11 people on the staff. And no one's getting it. Yes. And only person that got was Queen Esther, my right hand. I know y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, okay, they don't hear it. So you know what I did? I closed the door. Spirit said, just close the door. Let them go. They'll figure it out. They'll follow me. I closed the door. I went and started working on my paperwork, calling people up. And then Kaz got me to social media. And I jumped on, what was it?
Instagram Live.
Instagram Live. Thank you.
Yes. I finished that sentence.
Yes. I jumped on. And I got a relationship. I said, I connected. I said, all right, this is what we're about to do. This is how we're going to do it. I was excited. This is a thrill. And then Kaz said, well, you know, how are you going to hold all these people in the house? It's the brownstone in the house. 15 people can be in a room, but not, you know. I said, okay, we're up to 15 or whatever. Okay, get back to me tomorrow. I was going into impeccable listening. I said, I'll get back to you tomorrow. He don't even understand what I'm talking about. I go to sleep. I wake up. Take a breath. Okay, Most High talk. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. What do I have to do? Where's it going to be? It came. Oh, wait a minute. There's a spot in Brooklyn on Fulton Street. And I called the woman and I said, I think I might have 100 women. I'm not sure, 50 women. She said, okay, can I use your space? She said, oh, Queen, you've done so much for the community. Sure, you can use my space. It's going to be minimal. I said, see there, Most High? Thank you. And I told her, I said, Kazi, I found a spot. I didn't even go look at the spot. But I was having a faith walk moment.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at the spot, it had a piano. It was a jazz place where people would come in the community. It was perfect and hold 120 to 30 women. And that's where it was. So you don't even have to know all the details.
Yeah.
All you have to do is trust. When you ask, you tune in because you're a fine instrument. Tune yourself up. You hear, you listen, and you follow instructions. And that's how I'm living.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30.
We hope you enjoyed waking up.
As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend. We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.